It's good to see you tonight. Thank you for the two of you that said it was good to see me. I appreciate that. It's good to be seen, and it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. It's always sometimes when you walk into God's presence in the worship, you know, a 16-year-old boy just led us into worship tonight, and I remember being 16 years old, and even at 16 and now at 36, I feel God's presence as we begin to open our mouths and begin to lift the name of the Lord up. You feel a lifting come from your spirit, come from your mind, come from your soul. And, you know, I talk to Grandpa Chuck often about worship, and we have these conversations, and he says, still the same now. At my age, Ryan, when I come into the Lord's house and the praises of his people begin to rise up, I just want to encourage you tonight, never lose that. Never walk away from that. Never take it for granted. What a wonderful job they did tonight. Would you give them a hand tonight? Aren't you thankful for them? This week has been, this week was busy. Wednesday, what a great time we had. We were supposed to have one less truck, and the Lord didn't see it that way. We had another organization call us, and they brought the truck that we were missing and another half of a truck. So we ended up having more food last week than we've ever had at any giveaway. And how many of you know there was a lot of people blessed because of that? And I'm so thankful to be a part of that. And I'm so thankful that the leadership here is concerned with the welfare and the well-being of the people of this city. Aren't you glad for that tonight? And, yeah, give them a hand. Absolutely. We were in Maine last week and just enjoying ourselves. We got some wonderful time as a family. And my wife was listening to my dad preach. She won't let me out of church. She just won't let me out of church. So she began to turn on that Facebook, and my dad began to speak about a subject that all of us love, the power of our words. How many of you have struggles with the words that you speak? Be honest tonight. David said, put a guard over my mouth, O Lord. I don't know about you, but for me, you know, we're so blessed. But I don't care how blessed you are, you can have moments where you just say, God, where are you? And you just say, you know, I just, woe is me. I got it so bad. And we have to be careful with the words that we speak. And I tried running from the message, to be totally honest with you. I just ran away from the message, and my dad got all done, and Sam was texting somebody. I said, who are you texting? And she said, I'm texting your dad and telling him how great the message was. And I was like, grrr. And I right in that moment, gone on vacation, I had about half of a message prepared, and I felt the Lord pause me and say, you're gonna speak about the power of our words. And so tonight, I've only had about 3 days, 3.5 days to prepare for this, and I believe my wife was a confirmation that I needed. How many of you men know my wife hears from the Lord for me often? And as I say that, 16 years tomorrow, we've been married. 16 years. And she's still the one. I believe more than ever that the body of Christ needs to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. I believe that there is a hurting world that we live in that needs the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that it's important for the church to provide places for the body of Christ to be equipped. When I say equipped, if you work in a tool and die shop and you don't have the right tools, you can't do the job, can you, Ben? And it's the same in here. If you don't have the tools that you need, to fight the battle that you have to face, you can't do the work that you need to accomplish in the world. God could send you a person. He could send you a soul. He could send you a hurting person, and you not be able to minister to them the way God has asked you to because you're not equipped to do that. Why do you say that, Ryan? What's that have to do with anything? There are small groups all throughout the week that I would be amiss if I didn't answer. You can't get what you need to get. Many of you are here tonight. There's an anticipation. There's an expectancy in your soul and in your spirit that the Spirit of God is going to minister and leave an imprint on your life. And I believe that with all my heart. But I will tell you this, that this night and Sundays are not enough. There are groups all throughout the week. They were on the screen when we started. You gotta get involved. You gotta plug into that. And I say it every time I come up here, and I plan to until I'm not speaking anymore. If you're not in the Bible app, if you're not in those devotionals, if you're not in those Bible in a year, and let me just say this. I really feel to just pause and say this. If you can't read, it's okay. If you say, I have a difficult time understanding, comprehending, I believe these words that a mentor told me. He said, Ryan, even if your mind doesn't understand it, your soul is built to. Ooh, that is good. When you read God's word, it's the inspired word of God. Even if your mind can't conceive what the Spirit is saying through the Scriptures, your soul can. And it's changing. It's ever changing. As I begin to prepare and ask the Lord, what am I to speak about words? The word came to me, and I've had these moments. I woke up a week ago. You could ask my wife. I woke up a week ago, and I felt I was woken up. I mean, abruptly, like somebody dumped a bucket of water on me, woke me up. I was in such a deep sleep. And I heard the words, don't dim. And I said, what in the world does this have to do with anything? What does this mean? Help me with this. And I began to hear this word also. And I'm gonna do, Lord, you know I've talked to you about this. I'm going to do my best to pull this together the way he's seen fit tonight. I kept hearing the word, the Holocaust. Yeah, and the way you're looking at me right now is the way I was looking at the Lord. So, and I had contemplated this and contemplated this. I began to read about it, and as I began to read about it, I had no conversation whatsoever with my dad, and he sends me a picture, and he sends me a picture of a gentleman that represents CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Do you have that picture? Do they have it? Christians United for Israel. He sends me this picture out of the clear blue with my two boys, with this individual that represents an organization that promotes who Israel is. That the Israel, the nation of Israel, is our God's chosen, set apart people. He sends me this, and I'm like, he sends me in the group message with Victor, and I'm like, what in the world? Okay, Lord, I hear you loud and clear about this. I want to read this to you, and I want to pull it together now. You're going to have to, your mind's going to have to stay with me. The Holocaust was a period in history at the time of World War II. Between the time of 1939 and 1945. And this is what my mind said. That's not that long ago, is it, folks? When 6 million Jews were murdered because of who they were. Just let that sink in. Just let that impression be left as your friend, as someone you do life with. 6 million people died, and it seems like a lifetime ago. It seems like a world away, like nothing that ever happened then could affect me, but quite the contrary. Listen to the rest of this. And if you, later on, if you go, I thought about putting some pictures on of the Holocaust, of the concentration camps and the gas chambers and the ovens that that they used to kill these 6 million Jews. And the 6 million Jews, that's not even a portion of the people who were tortured and mistreated and starved to death and poisoned and left scarred for life. How many of you have ever been scarred for life? The killings were organized by by Germany's Nazi party led by Adolf Hitler. You know this. Jews were the main target of the Nazis, and they were the greatest number that were killed. But listen to this. Nearly 7 out of every 10 Jews in Europe were murdered. So do the math in this room. More than 3/4 of us would have been gone. Okay? Just stay with me. And then also included in these numbers were people with disabilities. So if you were disabled, you were included in these numbers. You were targeted. They also took away the rights of anyone that opposed their perspective. They took the rights of those people away. They demeaned them. They demoralized them. They tore them apart. They treated them in such a way that see, you can't mistreat a person that you feel is your equal. You can't sit next to someone in church and smile at them and say, I love you and I care for you, and then kill them. They demoralized them to the point where they weren't even human beings. God's chosen people. Get this tonight. Genocide happened. And it is the deliberate killing of a large group of people just because they're a certain nationality, race, or religion. Now I want you to think about this for a second. And I know this is some touchy stuff right now. I know it is. That's why I figure I share it. And my dad, if you're mad about it afterwards, he'll deal with it. Our nation is torn, and there's name-calling. There's a rhetoric of name-calling, stupid and idiot, and this nature of unrest and disrespect, even among people that we live around. In all of the history that I read about this, all of the background, get this, all of the history that I read about this, it sent me to one thing. It started by words. I know. You say, Ryan, it's a long shot. I'm going to bring it to you in a second here. Words create culture, they create thought, and then they create action. And we know the scripture. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So our words matter. Now, I'm going to read you a scripture. This scripture was written 2,600 years ago. About 2,500 years prior to the Holocaust. You do the research afterwards, but I'm going to just set it. I'm going to bowl it right down to you. Ezekiel 37. Listen to these words. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. Listen to these words. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Bone to bone, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on the skin, covered them, but no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy and breathe to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into the slain, and they may live. And he finishes in verse 10, and he says these words. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. A vast army. Bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, the prophets prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, which are the people of Israel, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back. Listen to these words. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you and my people will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit on you and live in you, and I will you will settle in your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done these things, declares the Lord. I share with you just a small glimpse of what the Holocaust represents, which I believe firmly is rooted in thoughts and words. And I want to draw a witness from the text I just read to you that words matter. You do the history. You look at the background between what the Holocaust was and what the prophetic word was in Ezekiel 37, and there's a striking resemblance of what was spoken then to what happened only 75 years ago. Striking. At no other time were 6 million Jews killed. No other time. Mass murders were people of Jewish descent scattered among the nations all over the place. They hid wherever they could hide. They ran and hid wherever they can hide. And I just want to sow this into you. And I'm going to give you four quick things about the pattern of our words. But I want to just sow this into you. As bad as you think you might have it, as irritated as you might be at the current climate and the situation with corona and politics and race and everything else, as bad as you think you might have it, you don't have it anywhere near what these people dealt with. It robs you of the right to complain. It robs you of the right to point a finger. It robs you of the right to call someone a name less than you'd want to be called. The names that are called, the spirit in which people are treated, totally inappropriate and not pleasing to the Lord. And let me just say this to you. This word was spoken to me long before it was spoken to you. Words matter. I want to talk to you tonight from the title, So I Prophesied as He Commanded. We are commanded to be life speakers. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, as we minister this word, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be a spirit of life, that God, you would use this tonight, God, to lift us from a place of sorrow and sadness and possibly depression and discouragement and just all kinds of fear. Father, I pray tonight that you would minister to your people as you've ministered to me. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point I want to make tonight that Ezekiel says, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. The scripture starts out saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me. We have to come to the place to know one thing. If we don't have the hand, the gracious hand of God on our lives, we can't accomplish what we'd love to. You know, my dad speaks all the time. He says all the time, Granny prayed for me. Granny knelt down on the toilet. And I talk to many people that God is really working in their lives. And a common theme is that someone prayed for them somewhere along the line, that God's hand would be on them. And I want to just throw out there one other thing. I believe that God's hand is on people that aren't even saved. I believe God's hand is on people that aren't practicing. They're not practicing Christianity. They're not being discipled. They're not walking in the ways of the Lord. But I still believe that God's hand is on them. Think about my father growing up in the household that he did, sleeping in the tailgate of a pickup truck in the middle of the winter. How does a guy like that end up in a place like this? The hand of the Lord was upon him to do a work, to do a thing, to accomplish a thing in the world. An education doesn't equal the hand of the Lord. A background in a certain field doesn't equal the hand of the Lord. I have met people so anointed, so gifted, the hand of the Lord was on them in such a prolific way that you knew God had something to do with that. Think about your life. Think about how far you wandered from God at times. And all of a sudden, he was just drawing you unto himself. The guy walks up in the line. Oh, he looks like what's he do for a living? I don't even know. The hand of the Lord was upon you. That's why. That drawing, that wooing unto himself. When the hand of the Lord comes upon you, what seemed impossible. See, I've seen marriages in pieces, tattered and broken and destroyed, where the hand of the Lord comes on it, and all of a sudden you see them all giddy. And you think it's something a counselor did, and I take nothing from a counselor, but the hand of the Lord is upon them. To be married 40 years, to be married 50 years, the hand of the Lord is upon them. And I think our greatest prayer, I think our greatest desire, I think our greatest passion should be, God, that you would keep your hand upon me all the days of my life. I remember a prayer like that someone prayed. It's in 1 Chronicles 4:10. It says this, oh, that you would bless me. And you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me. Keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain. And I love this scripture. It says, and God granted his request. No weapon shall form against you, shall prosper when the hand of the Lord is upon you. More than anything in my life, God, that your hand would continue to be on me. Ecclesiastes, and I could read scripture after scripture after scripture, but I don't have the time. 9:1 says, so I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hand. Peter 5:6 says, these words, and God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourself under his mighty hand. Psalm 89:13 says this, your arm is endowed with power, your hand is strong, your right hand is exalted. Isaiah 48 says these words, it was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him. And without him was nothing made. Jeremiah 32:17 says, O Lord God, it is you that have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and our outstretched arm. And I could read on and on and on and on. I pray tonight that every night you go to sleep, every morning you wake up, you'd say, God, that your hand would be upon me. You say, Ryan, I don't feel like I've had his hand on me. I don't sense that hand like you're describing. And this is what the scripture says about that. I'll tell you another time. No, I'm just kidding. It says these words, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk what? Rightly in him. You can't ask God to put his hand on something that's less than edifying to him. I believe sometimes we ask God to lay his hand on things. He won't do it. No good thing will he withhold from you. So, Ryan, why do you share that? Begin to walk uprightly in him. Begin to do his will. Begin to walk in his will and plan for your life. And I believe with all my heart, when you ask him, he'll lay his hand on you. Can I get one amen in here? Amen. Number one, we need the hand of the Lord upon us to do the work, to do the plan of the ministry. You know, people will hate you when God's hand is on you. They'll hate you. They'll be so disgusted because the things that they have to work and grind to obtain, it just seems like you just walk through the door of God's blessing. It's not you. It's not me. It's the hand of the Lord. Number one, we need the hand of the Lord. The second thing the scripture says, I love these words. He brought me out. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. We need God's Spirit to bring us out of some things, don't we, church? We need God's Spirit to lead us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He's brought me out. I look back at my life and think, oh, my Lord, what you brought me from, what you've led me from, what you've led me to, your Spirit has led me all the way. I love the testimonies that I heard last night at our men's study. Story after story after story of God's hand leading people right into these seats. Right into this place for friendship, for camaraderie, for blessing, for favor, for salvation, for discipleship, for the changing of a heart and the changing of a mind. I think most guys in here, you think that you're gonna pick the girl that you want, but God leads you. He brings you to the wife that he has for you. I thank God for that. That'd be a good place for some of the men to say amen. He's brought me from place to place for his glory. We need God's strength and direction by the Spirit. And in Acts 16, it says these words, the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word of God in the countries of Asia. Talking about Paul. You know the scripture, Grant. Paul goes into this area to minister the gospel, to preach the gospel. And you know what the scripture literally says? The Spirit of God kept him from that place. It wasn't for him. It wasn't his time. It wasn't what God had for him at that particular time. And the scripture literally says that the Spirit of God led him from that. You ever been led from things that you thought is exactly what you wanted and what God had for you, and you just got led right in a different direction? It goes on to say that night Paul had a dream and a man was standing in front of him crying out, come over to my country and help us. And he had seen this and we agreed that God told us to go to this other place. God speaks to him in the midnight hour. Man, I love when I begin to hear God's voice and God's direction and the leading and the directing of God's Holy Spirit. I just love it. And the scripture says that Paul wanted to go one place, But God had him to go another place. So if it's true for Paul and it's true for me, could it be true for you? That God has, there's a leading that happens. There's a directing that happens. There's a prompting that happens by the Holy Ghost. That in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he leads you somewhere you never thought possible. When God's Holy Spirit comes upon you, he leads you to love and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And it always doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't always feel good. You think it feels good every time I walk in here? I just, oh, here we go. But as we're led by the Holy Spirit, as we're directed by the Holy Spirit, he gives us the strength that we need to accomplish the work that he has for us. But we need him to bring us to some things. And that's what I pray for this house. That's what I pray for this people. That's what I pray for you and for your family, that you just don't go to anything, that you don't just run from place to place and people to people because it feels good. But God will bring you into this house to bring you to the work of the ministry, to equip you, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry right in this house. As a leader, leader in an organization, leader in your home, as a leader in your family, you need to be directed by the hand of the Lord. I think about the starting of this church. I think about how outlandish it was at the time. My parents were broke. My parents were busted. My mom was working morning till night. This is so important to be shared. We didn't have anything. There was no generational wealth. It was just, oh, they're just rich people. They just got it all together. It was nothingness. It was brokenness. It was the directing and leading of the Holy Spirit in a broken moment, in a tattered moment, in an awestruck moment where God all of a sudden had something for a people. And God brings us this journey, God brings us to this place, to this night, before the foundations of the earth. He knew we'd be sitting in this room and that I'd be ministering this message on the leading and directing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe with all my heart, God's been speaking to your heart and speaking to your spirit. And he's been speaking to your spouse. And you know what he's asking you to do right in the house of the Lord. And you just need to say, your will be done in my life, O Lord. I think about St. Anthony's. I think about that leading. I think about that directing. What a leading of the Holy Spirit. We wanted to build a gym. We wanted to build a gym right over in that parking lot there. Remember those meetings? Wanted to build a gym over there. It's gonna be nearly $1 million to build a gym. And all of a sudden, somebody in the meeting said, well, how about that building over on the south side there? We heard it has a gym. Remember when we go in, when we were kids, we'd go in and we'd play basketball in there because it was vacant. We just wanted a place to play basketball. And how God led us and directed us. And instead of spending $1 million of God's resources, borrowed money on a gym, he leads us to the south side and basically hands us a gym. See, that's what God does in an organization. That's what he does in a life. I think of Ben Martin sitting over there. I can't pass by it. His mom comes to a Christmas party in the house I now live in. His mom comes and says, I got to bring this boy of mine with me. He's all lost. He's all torn up. His parents had just went through a wicked divorce, tough time, tore up. 20-some years later, he's sitting in the front row here. You don't think that's God's leading? You don't think that's God's direction? And the same God that did it in this church and in St. Anthony's and in his life and numerous other lives, he'll do it in your life if you let him. Only if you let him. You can't do everything. You can't be everyone. But you can do what he's called you to do. and he'll lead you right onto it. The scripture says that he brought me out. This means that there'll be a separation at times. I hope that you hear this right now, because God sowed this into my heart for me. I'm going to be about five more minutes. God sowed this into my heart for me. There is going to be, he brought me out of some things. He brought me out of some places. He brought me out of some relationships. He brought me out of some connections. He brought me out of some places for such a time as this. And he's doing the same with you. Don't be heartbroken. Don't complain. Don't get weary. Don't get aggravated. Don't get tore up. What he's doing in your life is he's bringing you out. The Spirit of God has brought you to some things. And we need to say, let it be so in my life. Number one, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Say that with me. Say, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Do you believe that tonight? Number two, he says, he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. I love that. Here's the third thing, and I hate this point. I really don't like this point. I really didn't even want to preach this point, Kai. It just frustrated me. It just aggravated me. It really brought some sorrow to my heart. But I have to minister it. It says this, he set me in the middle of a valley. Woo! He set me in the middle of a low place. He set me. The hand of the Lord's on me. The Spirit of God is directing me. But he brought me to a low place. Wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. I thought that if your hand was on me, I thought that if you were leading me and guiding me and directing me, I thought that you were going to take me to a high place. I thought you were taking me higher. I didn't think you were taking me lower. The scripture says, he took me and set me in the middle of a valley. I thought Paul, I thought when God called the Apostle Paul to the ministry, he just took him from wonderful thing to wonderful thing, Grandpa. I thought it was just all a bed of roses. I thought it was just all easy, Grandpa. I thought that when he called Peter, I thought that when he called him, I remember the story where he preached to 3,000 and many were saved and delivered and healed and set free. I thought it was just all the better. I thought it was just all easy. Took him to a valley. Took him to a place where Jesus said, when the rooster crows, you'll deny me. A low place. Apostle Paul. Wrecked ship. Snake bitten. Thrown in jail. Rat infested. Nasty. Low place. What often happens when the hand of the Lord is upon you, I want you to hear this tonight. I felt this so strong in my heart, my spirit for someone. What often happens, he'll take you to a low place. Instead of taking you to a mountaintop experience, he'll take you to a valley. When God's hand is upon you and you're walking in the Spirit of God, oftentimes, there is a valley experience, not once, but from time to time. You'll be betrayed. You'll be talked about. You'll be picked on. You'll be called names. Why would God call you? And why would he call me and lead me to a valley place? I sat this week. Here's why. Many of us, me included, we become so self-centered, so out of touch with reality, in such a state of blindness that we completely forget what it's like to face hardships. We can completely forget about the people, the men and women and young men and young girls that live and have lived and will live in a constant low place. We can completely forget about them. We can forget how it feels to be so low, to be an outcast, to be ridiculed, to be a minority. When we lived in Seattle, I don't think I've ever shared this story in this house. When we lived in Seattle, I remember going into Panther Elementary School. I remember going into that school, and I remember looking around, and there wasn't another white boy like me in that place. I'm looking around, where are the people at here? A low place. A place where you don't feel like you fit in. A place where you wonder what people say about you when you're not standing there. A place where you don't know if you can make the rent payment. A place where you're not sure if you have food. A place where you race to the church, to the line, because if you don't get that food in the freezer, if you don't get that food in that box, you're not sure if you'll have food. A low place. A tough place. A hard place. We forget so easy what it's like to struggle. When we were kids, I've shared this many, many times. We went through a low place. We lived in an apartment complex. It was rough. I mean, it was rough. Got beat up. Got ridiculed. Got picked on. I remember Mom taking the transit bus back and forth to work. Back and forth. Low place. Tough place. I remember Mom coming home with potatoes, and now I know I'm old enough to comprehend. I know where she was going. She wasn't going to the grocery store. Potatoes fixed different ways, time and guys, isn't this great? I guess. Low place. Tough place. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. We have to be very careful that we don't forget about those living in our own city, in our own county, that are living in a low place. Do you know that there is a homeless village right in this county? Do you know that people struggle to know that they have a meal for next week, that they can't pay their electric, that they can't pay their gas bill, that they're in a low place and they're wanting someone to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, come with me, let me help you. Look at the hurting. Look to the neglected. Look to the abandoned. That's why I love our Tuesday night ministry. And I'll just come right out and say, I love it there. You know how many kids we've met that have gone right from us seeing them every single week right into foster care, right into adoption. No parents in the picture. No shower, no food, no clothes. Holes through the bottom of the shoes. That's why I love that, because it reminds me, let me help you. Let me grab on to you where you are. Let me minister the gospel of Jesus to you where you are. Low place. Abandoned. We had two little girls. Every week I said, Sam, you got to come earlier. There's these two little girls that they keep showing up at 4 o'clock. The thing doesn't even start until 5 o'clock, but they're knocking on the door. I can't tell them they can't come in there. I can't ignore them. I can't just tell them go home. I can't just throw them out the door. She'd come early, and they'd be the first ones there, and they'd be the last ones to leave. Low place. We heard the story later on by a parent that adopted them and is caring for them. Now, my last point is this. Don't forget that low place. My last point is this. He says, I love these words. The old prophet says to him, but I believe he's speaking to you and I. He said, can these bones live? He's telling him that nothing happens in the spirit until you speak something into a life. I believe with all my heart that the Holocaust happened because of words. It started out as words and then grew into an action. But I believe the same thing can happen on the flip side. I believe that you can find a person who's hurting and broken and tattered and torn up, and you can look them in the face and say, hey, you matter. That you can speak life into a marriage. That you can speak life into a situation. You might not get credit later on, but you'll see the person and you'll say, bless God, I remember the day. You can speak life into your job. You can speak life into your calling. You can speak life into your finances. You can speak life into a low place. You can speak life and not death. I want to encourage every person in this room tonight. Stop speaking disappointment. Stop speaking loss. Stop speaking, he really hurt me, she really hurt me, and begin to speak the power and the life of Jesus into people. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, let us be a church. Let us be a ministry. That, Father, when you allow us to see a valley, when you allow us to see a low place, when you allow us to see a point of difficulty, that we'll take it and we'll say, yes, I remember before God's grace and mercy and compassion touched my life, that's where I was, in a low place. Let us speak words of life. Let us speak to dry bones, to live. And we'll give you the praise for it. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you receive the word tonight? Amen. We love you all. If you're in that low place, we want you to know we want to be here for you. If you need some food, if you need some clothing, if you need just being prayed for and encouraged, we want to be that to you. Message us on our Facebook page. Message us on our phone number. We're praying for you. God bless you. Sunday morning, 8:30 and 10 a.m., my dad's got a fantastic word for you. Go in God's grace. Go in his mercy. God bless you. Have a great night. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they